Hey, I'm Josh, co-founder and CEO of Expansive, and this is the FM Fix, our podcast. Michael is General Manager, EMEA at Lambent Spaces, a company delivering smart workplace solutions, helping drive clear ROI and improving sustainability for customers. He's also the co-founder of Smart Building Bootcamp, which helps demystify building technology for clients and FM teams alike. He's also worked on indoor air quality and well-being through Aerated and is a consulting non-exec director and podcast host, making one of the most recognisable voices in the smart building space. In this conversation, Michael shares what all this means for facility managers, from turning everyday building data into ROI, to proving the value of technology to leadership, to understanding where AI and automation will really make a difference. Michael, welcome to the FM Fix. How are you?
I'm very good, mate. Thank you for having me.
No, pleasure. So how did you get into working in the built environment?
Well, if we wind way back, actually, a friend of mine from Cisco, he and I have been friends for a very long time. He asked me to help out with a company originally called Asset Mapping many, many years ago and said, they need some operational help. Can you look at these guys and see what they're doing? And I come from the telco world, the networking world. Yeah. And so went to speak to a guy there, had a couple of conversations, and they said, right, you need some help. Great. Had a couple of conversations, thought this is really interesting. And then got sucked in from there, started helping them, asset mapping, then created Metricus. And then it's, you know, been 8-9 years since.
Amazing. And how did your upbringing shape you for this world?
How did my upbringing shape me for this role? I don't know. Well, hard work, I think, because I come from a family with not a lot of money.
Yes.
So it was always, you need to earn your way through life and learn things well so people can trust in you and know what you're talking about. So I think from a young age, that was instilled in me from my parents is, you know, work hard, do well by people, do well by others, and then the world will do well by you.
Absolutely. I do agree with that. So you've built up many businesses.
Yes.
Scaled, Aerated, Metricus, Smart Building Bootcamp of late. What problems were you trying to solve for facility managers?
I think part of the problem we were trying to solve is there's technology out there to help people with their work and to help people with processes. But there was just, there weren't the platforms there to help them bring it all together. So, you know, well, AI is changing everything, right? But there's software developers, there's lots of software developers, there's lots of platforms, but bringing all the data together to try and help people do different things in their roles, because you don't, as facilities managers, you're always putting fires out, you know, and but that shouldn't be the job, you know. You shouldn't have to wear your underpants on the outside all the time.
Always the case with all the facility managers we speak to, you know, no day's the same.
Exactly right. But if you've got some software connected to some systems and some solutions that can help you start to be proactive and preventative, that's what it was about, and that's what it's still about. You know, part of it's being giving them the data when they need it, not just when something's broken and people are screaming, you know, looking at patterns and seeing something will break at this point, or make, you know, if you make a fix now, or you do an audit now, or you do some maintenance now, it's not going to break. So it's all about preventative rather than, you know, reactive.
No, I agree with that. So for our listeners, could you describe the term smart buildings in the simplest format?
The simplest format is, it's something everyone needs to do because everyone tries to overcomplicate it. I think a smart building is a building that you pull data from to help you make informed decisions, put simply. And it doesn't matter who you are in that building, whether you're the facilities manager looking after the FM systems in the building, whether that be the HVAC, you know, heating and cooling and ventilation, or whether you're the cleaning team, understanding when things need to be cleaned. It's digitization of a building and then the building giving you the data that you need when you need it rather than you having to go and search for it.
So what are some of the smartest data points that an FM should start with?
It's a good question. Some of the smartest data points an FM should start with. It depends on where you are in the FM space. If it's the facilities management of HVAC and you're looking after the HVAC in a building, I would say connecting your HVAC to a platform and then setting up alerts and triggers to spot anomalies. If you're the FM team and cleaning is your biggest thing, I'm working with a company in the US at the moment with a lovely lady called Jill. She owns what would in the UK be probably one of the biggest FM companies, but in the US, it's seen as small to medium. But she wants to provide better cleaning services to her customers and digitize cleaning as much as possible. So for her, it's about how is the building being used? Where's the building being used? And how do I send my teams of cleaners to those spaces as a priority, you know, more so than the less used spaces? So depends on where you are, but HVAC facilities people, everything about the HVAC, cleaning people, it's what needs to be cleaned, when, why, and how.
Your mantra is start with objectives and end with outcomes. How can FMs apply that to their work?
I think start with a blank piece of paper. Write down what your objectives are individually, what your team objectives are, and then what the company objectives are. And it goes all the way back to the top of what the company objectives are, really. But your objectives and your team's objectives generally feed into the company objectives. So just write down what your objectives are, write down what your problems are, and write down which ones, if you solve those, take away the most pain in what priority order, I think is critical. Because everyone's trying to sell. In that, if you look at the hardware world, you're a software company. I run software companies. We don't sell any hardware. So we're not selling a point solution. We're selling a joined up solution to help solve problems. Lots of people get sold a point solution as a point solution problem solver, but it doesn't solve everyone's problems. So write your objectives down. There's enough technology, hardware and software to solve everyone's problems. Just writing your objectives down and then figuring out what you need to help meet those objectives.
Do you find that facility managers often struggle getting the buy-in and support from leadership teams to, you know, turn their buildings into smart buildings?
100%. And I think part of the reason is it's because it's not really visible, if that makes sense. It's not seen. Like, you don't notice the heating above the ceiling or the cooling, apart from if it's too hot or too cold, and then you complain, you know. And when I say invisible, you notice clean facilities or dirty facilities. But all of these people, the quiet superheroes, go about doing their job to make your life easy in this new world we call frictionless. And if it's all done and it's all easy, then it shouldn't be a problem, right? But to get what they need done, there's more pressure on them now than there's ever been before. You know, we've got a younger generation coming into work that are more demanding than old people like me used to be. A work should be a place that they can come and feel comfortable. It's frictionless. It's easy for them to do their job. Some companies are now realizing that FM and the whole facilities team are actually really important for the whole business. And some are Luddites, right? They don't actually know yet. But I think part of it's because these people just quietly go about their jobs doing what they need to make sure things just work.
How can we change the culture? How can we, you know, elevate the voices of facility managers? You know, that's something, you know, we're working hard on at Expansive, you know, especially through this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, what are the, you know, things could we all be doing to help?
I think you need to get buy-in from key stakeholders in each business. So, you know, and a key stakeholder having buy-in will then have a little bit more focus on what facilities and others do. And in some businesses that already happens, but in some businesses it doesn't. So I think this podcast, education is big. It's why we created Smart Building Bootcamp, not just for people at the coalface, but for people in the business to understand what does it mean across smart buildings, facilities, digital, all of that. But I do think in a business, people in facilities need to try and get a champion and a stakeholder at a senior level and get their ear and get their buy-in, and then they will start to talk about it within the business as well.
I think it's going to be more achievable when facility managers are using more and more data points for their reasoning and for their logic.
You know, data is the new oil, so they say. Yeah. And I agree with that. But it is. It's key metrics and key data. If you present that back to the business and you present cost savings, you know, take heating and cooling a building. It's a really simple one. So many people heat their buildings from 7 a.m. in the morning until 7 a.m. at night. Why do that? If you know the occupancy levels and you know what's going on in your building, turn it on at the right point, turn it off at the right point, and don't just do that 7 days a week. You know, we've seen it in buildings where they just do it 7 days a week, even when people aren't in. So getting key data points and handing it back to the business, showing that you're saving money, that's money talks, right? So if you're proving ROI, easier to get a key stakeholder say, yeah, I'm in with you, let's go.
It's very similar because when you walk around London at night you see all the big offices and the buildings, yes. All the lights are on.
Yes.
It's quite remarkable.
But that's everywhere. I think that's every city. I know quite a few cities are now turning them off, but the lights used to be the bane, or still are the bane of my life, and people leaving them on.
It's such an easy way to get an ROI and reduce your lighting spend.
Lighting and HVAC, I think, are probably two of the biggest.
So I want to make it practical for FMs. Can you talk about your practical knowledge about, you know, how can you help them? What's their starting point for turning their building smart? You know, utilizing data. How would you get them to start very simply?
I'll give a shameless plug to Smart Building Bootcamp at this point. I think it is about education, and it's actually why we created Smart Building Bootcamp, is because people say to somebody in FM, right, we need to get on this smart building bandwagon, we need to have a digital building, and we need to use technology. And some people are so busy, how do they learn what they need to learn? So education, I think, is number one.
Yeah.
And understanding your priorities in that education. You know, don't just jump straight to AI because you're not going to implement AI day one. Mm-hmm. It's understanding what you can do around energy management if you're looking after the HVAC systems. It's understanding what you can do around smart cleaning if your facilities and your facilities management company that does cleaning. I think education and understanding what technology is out there. But again, there's enough technology to do everything you need, but somewhere where you can get focused education is, and it's not just Smart Building Bootcamp, but it is a good place to start. But also go online, look at what other events and what other courses are out there for something that you may be looking to do, because the only way to learn is to educate yourself, right? And the only way to do things better is to educate yourself.
No, absolutely. I think education needs to continue to play a key part.
Yeah.
In all of this, and you know, we know that there's a shortage of people entering the FM space, specifically in the UK. I think, you know, we need to do more to elevate the importance of people starting careers in this sector.
I was reading something, it was a businessman in the US, and now the CEO of NVIDIA is saying it as well, like plumbers and electricians and FM and carpenters, they're the people that we need, you know, because AI can't do that.
No.
So I think education at a high school level or a secondary school level before, you know, if people don't want to get into university, that's okay. I didn't go to uni, you know, but education at a high school level, and as soon as you finished high school, understanding what avenues people can go into and then helping guide them into the areas they want.
How do you measure the success of smart building projects?
The simplest way is ROI. And everyone wants to see ROI. There are some soft ones, like the soft benefits of having a very clean building, a very frictionless building, and people saying that was a great experience. But because generally humans like to complain when things are bad, they don't tell you when things are awesome or going well, or it just simply works. So ROI is number one. And it's the simplest one to get stakeholder buy-in and further budget to do more projects. Number two is going out and getting feedback from people who use your space, use your buildings, use your services. And if people don't realize that they're there and they're just working, and you do the survey, then you should get great scores.
Yeah.
But I think it's two sides. There's the ROI side, and then there's the non-financial side, which is the feedback and the continuous feedback. And I think that's really important, because that's the one that, you know, the metrics of people using the space, whether they're permanent members of the office or the team or the building or their visitors, both of those metrics are really important.
Through Aerated, you focused on indoor air quality. Why is that important?
Post-COVID, everyone now knows what indoor air quality is. Beforehand, some people knew, but because everyone, you know, it was on the news constantly about dust levels and dust particles and PM 2.5 and 10, and then CO2 levels. And then volatile organic compounds. And volatile organic compounds, for people listening, are things like off-gassing of furniture, cleaning products, the fumes from cleaning products, hairspray, perfume. Us as humans, we're volatile organic compounds. We give off gases, some not so nice sometimes. The office, we spend 90% of our time there. So the air quality needs to be good. Productivity levels need to be high. So there is an optimum level of temperature, humidity, and CO2. So, you know, if look at CO2 levels, for example, the minimum on the planet now, I think, is 450 somewhere up north. But generally in an office, it needs to be between 600 and 800. If you get to 1,000 parts per million, that's the equivalent of having 2 pints of beer. That's how much it affects your cognitive performance.
There's a direct correlation between a positive CO2 score and the cognitive performance of one's workforce.
Yes. Yes. And the ideal levels, and you'll never get to 450 in an office. You get to 450 outside in the countryside. Mm-hmm. But between 600 and 800 is ideally where you want to be. And that's, you know, temperature has an effect, CO2 has an effect, dust has an effect as well, but not as directly as CO2 and temperature.
And do you think leadership teams are aware of this?
I think some are, but some aren't. Some don't care. I think it's a real mix still. I think post-COVID, everyone cared. That's why Aerated came about. Actually, it was launched just before COVID. But I think more and more now, people either care about it and they will do something about it and they will action it, or they won't.
So who's driving that change? You know, who's driving the positive change?
People like Joseph Allen in the US. He's a massive advocate for indoor air quality and doing something about it and keeping it at healthy, safe and productive levels in buildings. You can't do anything about outside apart from try and change where you live, which is even harder sometimes. There are bodies like the WELL standard as well, and then you've got Fitwell, you've got Reset. There's a few people trying to push indoor air quality standards. There's BS 40102 here in the UK as well, which has come out. None of them are mandated, though. So if it's not mandated, it then kind of slips down the list of priorities depending on who you are as a business and a leader.
So should the UK government be doing more to mandate, you know, the, you know, a quality of air within buildings?
I think everyone should. Yeah. I think there should be some mandates around it, because we spend 90% of our time indoors. You spend, you know, when you're in the office, if you've got flexible working, great. If you don't, you're spending 4 or 5 days and 8 to 9 hours a day in an office. That air needs to be good. If it's not, well, the investment that companies can make will get a hell of a lot more back than if they don't. Because you've got sick days, you've got lower performing people. You know, I'm amazed hedge funds and trading floors aren't the you know, best air quality environments on the planet, right? Because those people are paid a hell of a lot of money making, you know, decisions all the time about buying and selling and what they invest in. That would be pittance to invest in that and make sure the air quality is good, not just for them, for everyone in the building.
So Keir Starmer, if you're listening, speak to Michael and we can get the economy going again. But it's a little bit like when you're in Las Vegas in the hotels there. They're pumping
oxygen
into the spaces.
Yeah.
I want to move on to talking about artificial intelligence.
Yes.
The technology is here right now, growing at an exceptional rate. What role do you see AI and automation playing in smart buildings?
I think eventually AI will run quite a few parts of buildings.
Yes.
And when I say run parts of buildings, the heating and cooling is probably the quickest win.
Yes.
One of the things that I'm still doing and working with a few companies on, and the biggest ROI, I think, is predictive occupancy, which will then lead to predictive energy use and then predictive maintenance. When you connect all of that together, that's what I think will be the automated side of the building. So everything that can be turned on and off by AI being connected to a platform, being connected to a piece of equipment. So the heating and cooling going on and off when there's people in. AI understanding the thermal inertia within the space. So how long it can hold when you turn the heating on, how long can it hold that heat for before it drops down, before it needs to kick the heating and cooling back in? AI will do that. You know, turning lights on and off. Yay, eventually all buildings with no one in, all the lights will go off. You know, turning equipment off that can be turned off. Some equipment has to run 24 hours a day, but most of it can be turned off at some point. I think that those things AI will help with. Can it help what facilities managers and facilities teams need to do for people in buildings? I don't think it will ever take over those jobs. Will there ever be robots cleaning facilities? Well, there are robots driving around and, you know, cleaning the floors and vacuuming, things like that. Yes, I think. But everything else, I don't think so. There's a lot of talk about AI doing everything, but I think the big ones will be the predictive occupancy, predictive energy use, and then predictive maintenance, and helping FM teams be more efficient with their time and what they need to do. But there's still not enough buildings connected to do this really well, and not enough data to put in a large language model or an AI platform for it to be successful right now. But it will come over time, the more buildings are connected.
What skill sets should facility managers be developing, learning about right now in the new world that we're living in?
I think it depends on their role within the building or the company that they work for. If they're trying to go for a higher level job or another role in another company and they want to move on, I think understanding where the market's going, why the market's going there, and how that's taking shape, it is important. Does that mean you can go and do a course? No, that just means reading a lot, magazines, reading journals, reading things that are out there that are independent, that people rely on. But also understanding smart buildings, you have to go there because it's not stopping. You know, AI is moving very rapidly. The buzzword about AI, I was reading over the weekend in the Times that the AI bubble, we're not quite at the peak where we were with the dot-com bubble, but we're edging towards the top. But smart buildings are key to making buildings more efficient. So if you haven't started that educational path yet, jump on that education path. Go at your own pace because people are busy. Figure out what you need to learn based on what you want to do. If your current job has certain objectives, educate yourself on that. If you're looking for a new job, what should I educate myself on to give me the best chance of taking that next step?
What are you most excited about the facility management industry?
I think how much it could change the way people do their jobs. And I think it can only help them not do their jobs better, but I think it can help take away the part where they're always running around because something's always broken and someone's always shouting at them. You know, they're kind of the unsung heroes, right, of fixing things, whether they like to or not. Most days they're wearing their underpants on the outside like Superman, and they're running around fixing a problem. If they know, and they've got connected systems, they know the problem is going to happen before it happens and it's not a problem. No one's shouting at them. Life is good. Life's always better when someone's not shouting at you.
No, they do say that they're often only heard or spoken to when the shit's hitting the fan.
Yeah, and that shouldn't be the case, right? It should be, we're implementing this new technology for these reasons, and they become known for innovators rather than putting out fires. The fires will put themselves out, or they will be quietly putting the fires out before people know about the fires. And then they become innovators. Let's do this new thing in our building. Let's bring in these new technologies into our space to make life easier for people using the building.
We have a closing tradition on the FM Fix. It's called the FM Fix Reactive Round.
Okay.
There's no time for thinking. You just got to, you just got to say what comes to your head.
Okay. Luckily, I didn't have a coffee because it could be some crazy stuff if I had a coffee.
What do FMs really need to get their job done?
Information.
What's the most underrated metric facility managers should be tracking in their buildings?
It depends on where they are. If you look after the HVAC and the energy, then you need to understand how your building's being used and get the data to make it more efficient.
One skill you think every facility manager should develop in the next 5 years?
God, you're asking me that straight off the bat, and I'm supposed to answer it really quickly. understanding the evolution of smart buildings and how it will affect their role specifically.
Michael, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the FM Fix, and thank you for your time.
Thanks very much, mate. Great to be on.
Pleasure.